Today on Real Radio.
The children of the believers began to follow the pagan gods of other nations. They went after those other things. Why? I don't want to go too far off this. It would have been very easy to go follow the gods of the other nations. It's what your flesh wanted to do. You guys, those pagan gods required the type of worship that your flesh says, let's do that.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges, a narrative that describes one of Israel's darker eras. We're now in chapter 2 in a presentation called A Nation Under God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God can snap his finger, church, and do anything he wants at any time. He can just snap his finger and cause an earthquake. Can you imagine? Snap his finger, lightning. How cool would that be? He could say, okay, all your enemies, gone. He doesn't do that. Even though he made the promise, they're to act on his promise by faith. So he says, how come you didn't go? Because you didn't obey me, the very enemy that I promised to move out as you advanced, they're going to now be here. They're going to be thorns in your side. They're going to be problems in your own borders. And what's an amazing thing to me is, instead of them saying and lifting up their voice, we are so sorry, we repent for not following you, Lord, we sinned against you and we repent. That word here, weep, you know what? It's the same word, though this is in Hebrew. In Greek, it's the same word, and it gives you, causes the hair on your neck to stand up if you have hair on your neck. It's the same word that when Judas got busted, remember, he was sorry that he got caught. He did not repent. There was no repentance in his heart. He got bummed that he got caught. That's not repentance. If somebody gets caught and then they say they're sorry, you don't know if they're repentful or not. If your little kid has been robbing the cookie jar and you have no evidence of it, but then he comes to you and says, you know what, Mom, I can't take it anymore. I've been robbing the cookie jar. I repent. That's a great sign. But if he's got his hand in the jar or crumbs on his mouth and you say, what did you do? I'm sorry. Why are you sorry? Well, the answer is, really, truly, I just got caught. If I wouldn't have got caught, I would still be stealing cookies. That's what they mean. Judas's confession was, really, I would have still been betraying Jesus if I wouldn't have got caught. Israel here is weeping because we got busted. We still would have disobeyed God, but doggone it, we got busted. It's not in the heart. This is a very, very key, very, very important thing. We must answer to the Lord as believers. And it's clear, I believe, in the Scripture that nations must answer to the Lord. And Israel, from time to time, from history to history, from life to life, will answer and must answer to the Lord. Verses 6 through 9, a nation created for God's purpose is a people that must honor God in life. Any nation, it's amazing. You look at nations who honor God, look how blessed they are. Some nations are living off residual blessings, but God blesses. Verse 6 through 9, and when Joshua, he's talking about the past, had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen, listen, all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the borders of his inheritance of Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the Bible says, "For to everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed to him or of him, the more will be asked of." God gave great signs. It says right here in verse 7 that they had seen tremendous works of God. Can you imagine trafficking with the children of Israel for those 40 years going across the wilderness, and there's the presence of God in the desert? And you guys, he kept them warm when they needed warmth. He protected them from the blazing, burning sun when they needed protection from the sun. When the enemies came from behind, the Lord was there. When they were scared and they wouldn't advance, the Lord went before them. He was all over them. He was everywhere. They saw that. They saw Sinai shaking. They saw the waters part. They saw the manna coming down from heaven every day. Manna. You know what? Some scholar who must have had a lot of time on his hands said that there's somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million people in the wilderness when they were moving for those 40 years. And this guy figured out that on the average consumption of what a normal diet is, and he took manna and figured out that there was about 30 to 40 tons of manna per day that God would lay out over the ground. Now, I don't know how you see that, because we drive through and get our manna. You know? It takes us like 3 minutes to get our manna. They would wake up in the morning and manna was all over the place. Looked like snow, a little wafer on everything. They'd scoop it up and eat it and make all the manna food, all kinds of food. God provided for them. They saw that. Well, the Bible says in Luke, to whom much is given, much will be required. Is your life blessed? Is your life blessed? Do you know God? Do you know John 3:16? Can safe to say, can't each of us quote at least one verse of the Bible? Hey, that's enough to be held accountable for that one verse. When God blesses a nation, He requires life out of that nation. He requires honor out of that nation. He requires that nation to walk with Him. And the Lord is more involved, I believe, in nations than we often give Him credit for or we think about. You kind of wonder if you could see the spiritual realm today of what's going on in the realm. Can you imagine if you could just snap on some spiritual eyeballs right now and look over toward the Middle East and see what's going on? With all the stuff that's going on in the world today, can you imagine the spiritual activity that traffics around these global leaders? Can you imagine the demonic activity just around the UN building alone? All the weirdness that's going on where global policies are... In fact, I tell you what, you should look at the UN policies in relation to Israel and their rulings, and then you'll really know there's weirdness going on around there. They always vote against Israel. God knows that. He sees that. But can you imagine being... I mean, honestly, truly, we need to... The Bible says pray for our leaders. Can you imagine the incredible stuff that maybe your senator so-and-so... You don't even believe in God. And you're working in Washington, and you know the enemy forces traffic in places of power. We need to be very, very aware that behind national borders and national policies, there are spiritual powers at play. The book of Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more I will shake heaven and earth and sea and land, and I will strike all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations." That's a title of the Messiah, the desire of all nations. "And I will fill this temple with glory," says the Lord of hosts. God is in to nations. Another thing, point number two tonight is this. A nation under God is found in verses 10 to 15. It's a nation that's responsible for what it has. Israel was going to be held responsible to the Lord for what it had. Look at verse 10. A nation that's responsible is a people held to be accountable. He says, "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers," that's the ones that followed after Joshua, "another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which the Lord had done for Israel." You got to stop and say, how did that happen? Didn't grandpa tell stories to the kids? Didn't mom and dad tell the kids stories? How could a generation grow up and not know what God had done? You know what's amazing about this? This is how it happened. Israel got blessed. Israel was blessed and prospering. And I don't know what they were doing back then. Were they driving black donkeys with tinted windows and chrome hooves, you know, and gold-plated chariots? But they got into all kinds of stuff and they forgot their kids. Israel got so blessed by God that the parents forgot their kids. The kids didn't know what had happened. You say, well, how can that be? How can it be? I don't know. How can this be? Ask your kids, you know, where was Abraham Lincoln born? Ask your kids when you get kids. Hey, kids, where was Abraham Lincoln born? They ought to know, but they don't know. They ought to find, what year was America liberated in the War of Independence from Britain? They better be able to know that. See, it's easy to let the kids grow up not knowing if we don't tell them. Israel didn't tell their kids. You say, Jackie, you'd be kidding me. Wouldn't you think, Christian, that you would be sitting your kid down and say, man, you should have saw it. The wind was blowing. Moses was standing there. He lifted up his staff and the Red Sea parted open. There were fish flopping around on the sand in the middle. Now, we don't have time to tell them. They got blessed. They had bucks. And they were prospering. And maybe they thought it was going to be like that forever. They failed to be accountable to the Lord. And the Lord's holding them accountable for this. And then look at verses 11 to 13. The nation's responsible in that the nation was required of the Lord to know its history. This is so important to us. Then the children of Israel, watch this, did evil in the sight of the Lord. Wow. And served the Baals, that's the gods of ancient Babylon, and they forsook the Lord their God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. Will you mark that? The children of the believers began to follow the pagan gods of other nations. They went after those other things. Why? I don't want to go too far off this. It would have been very easy to go follow the gods of the other nations. It's what your flesh wanted to do. You guys, those pagan gods of other nations, those pagan gods required the type of worship that your flesh says, let's do that. Like run around naked through the woods and orgies all over the place. They had altars. All these things have been unearthed. It's unbelievable. And they've been unearthed in Israel. Altars of all this sexual pagan weirdness. Has anybody ever been to Molokai in Hawaii? Man, we did an outreach there. It was insane. We had to have police escort. It was wild. And I don't mean wild like, you know, everyone's partying. No, I mean wild like the police said, you guys got to stay close to us because you're not safe on this island. You got to be kidding me. This is one of the 50 states here, Hawaii. When's the last time you took a vacation to Molokai? It's wild. And we went up to this rainforest. And the pastor of that church took us up there and took us to a site where pagan deities are worshipped. And all of these nasty things are there in their worship practices. You say, you got to be kidding me. It's just like it was thousands and thousands of years ago. You say, that can't be true. It is true. Absolutely bizarre. In the 21st century, you'd think, that can't be true. Israel went after that. After seeing all the glory of God, they went after these crazy idols. Why? Because, look, it's not the idol. It's what the doctrine assigned to the idol is all about. And it's always somehow desirous of the flesh. It could be violence, or it could be sensual. It could be wealth, or it could be dominance. It could be anything. But the pagan stuff says to the flesh, hey, would you like some of this? And the flesh goes, yeah, I'll take 24. It's absolutely bizarre. When we as Christians don't know our history in the Lord, it's a bad road. By the way, write this down or turn there. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Great, great. Everybody knows this verse. Super stuff. Wonderful truth. But we need to practice this more and more. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them, listen, diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you get up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. What? The word of God and what God has done and his great exploits. You talk to your kids about them all the time. Those of you who have little kids, it's so awesome to have little kids. And you start with them. Point to everything, mom and dad. Point to the tree. Point to the worm. Show them the bug. Point to the duck, the cloud, and tell them, God did that. God did that. Look at the bug. God made the bug. You know what's really cool? You know how little kids naturally strangle things or stomp on things? Have you noticed that? Start telling your children, God made that little bug. And you know what? They'll get on their hands and knees and get nose to nose with it. They might even talk to it. I'm dead serious. They'll start to respect life of all God's creation. Look, God made that cloud. See that cloud? What does that cloud look like? It looks like Donald Duck. It looks like Mickey Mouse. God made the clouds. And that's how he brings water to us, with cloud. Tell them. Teach them. Put God into everything. Listen to what else he says. Verse 9, you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Verse 10, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God says, I'm going to bless you, but don't forget me. Man, listen, mom and dad, you and I should be the people teaching our children. I'm not saying don't put your kids in public school. I'm saying pray before you put your kids in public school. That's fine. But listen, before they ever get to public school, you need to be teaching your kids. Later on, we're going to be giving you data. I don't mean later tonight. Later on, we're going to be giving you information about how important it is to teach your kids from the moment they're born and do it the best you can. God will so honor that. But listen, mom and dad, we need to be teaching the kids. Not, you know, that day when you send them off to school. That first day of K, that doesn't mean it stops. You don't go, man, those 5 years are over. Huh, praise the Lord. That was tough. And you unplug. No way. Mom and dad dive head first into their life, into their everything. Well, gosh, they're only coloring. I want to know what they're coloring. What's the picture? I want to know. I want to know who's teaching my kid. But listen, I want to put a few things up. Take a look at this. Thomas Jefferson. And I want to ask you this question, man, based upon Deuteronomy chapter 6, teach your kids. This is kind of the stuff that you'll learn on the Heritage Tour when we go back there this fall. Thomas Jefferson was the first elected president of the Washington, D.C. Public School Board. Did you know that? He was the first public school board president in America. While under Jefferson's leadership, he instituted the use of the Bible to be the official textbook for reading in all public school classrooms. Thomas Jefferson. Next slide. The Bible is a book worth more than any other books that have ever been printed, Patrick Henry said. Did you know that? Were you taught that in school? Hey, are you guys awake? I wasn't taught that in school. Next slide. It is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading public. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom. Horace Greeley said that. That's brilliant. It's pretty hard to control somebody who knows the Bible. That's why communist countries won't allow Bibles in their country. Because when somebody reads the Bible, they start thinking for themselves, and they start realizing that they're worth something, that God put value upon them. Next slide, number four. I have always said that, will always say that studious perusal of the sacred volume, the Bible, will make us better citizens. Thomas Jefferson. And then this final slide. This is a bit of data. A study done by the American Political Science Review, it's a secular group, not a Christian group, on the political documents of the founding era found that 94% of the documents that went into the founding era of the public education in America were based on the Bible. And of that, 34% of the contents were direct quotations from the Bible. 88% of the students nationwide are educated in the public school system using the Bible. It should be noted that the Bible was used as a source book for the foundation and blueprint for the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the public educational system, and history until the 1960s. Isn't that amazing? The parent, you the parent, the church, the neighborhood, it should be the molding factors of your child's development and growth. Here, God is saying with his children, teach it to your kids. Tell them what went on. God commands it in the Word. You see, well, you know, it's what I send them to school for. It's what I pay taxes for. They're not going to teach your kids that anymore. I believe that kids learn first and foremost at home. Best stuff. I am hoping and praying that you're not of the mindset, truly, that you pull up and you drop your kid off at a public school, or it could be, for that matter, a private school, could be, for that matter, I don't care, a Christian school. Don't think, mom and dad, that your responsibility for them learning is over at that. You need to teach them the ways of God and what God has done throughout history. I pray that they learn math in school. I think, though, the greatest way to teach your kids at home is to teach them history, God, history, his story in the nations of the world. Teach them. You can't leave that to someone else. You've got to be involved in that in such a dramatic way. I hope that doesn't sound strange to you. It's absolutely something that is so vital. Those of you who have kids in school, any school again, public or private school, please, will you take the time, please, to look at the books that they're reading? Look at their textbooks. Don't assume anything.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called A Nation Under God. It's a look at the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 2. And we'll continue with more in this series on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter to the Ephesians. And what we've done is placed that entire series all on one MP3 CD. So here's our offer for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. We'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.